Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks wrapping up our theme right there. Musicians Come and Play. Means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Program number 454 in that continuing series. We're at 13 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon, 20 degrees our current temperature, and bright sunshine here in central Minnesota. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany 1150 AM, KDDG Albany 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. Again, 13 minutes before 12, 20 degrees our temperature. We have our guest on the line. We're going to go to the phone line and bring him in right now and say good morning to Mr. Gary Zwack. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I am great, Cy. Good to be with you.
Well, awesome. And Gary, for the folks listening in, where are we visiting with you from?
I am at home here in St. Cloud.
St. Cloud, Minnesota, over on the south side, huh?
On the south side, exactly.
There you go. And Gary, we have so much information to go through. I don't know where to begin other than to say, let's start with where you were born and raised, who mom and dad were, a little bit about the beginning.
Sure. Well, my folks, Richard and Marilyn, both were from Royalton, Minnesota, and they started our family in the cities. Dad had gone down to do work at the plumbing and heating business, and so that's kind of where we started, and we ended up pretty much spending most of our days in Brooklyn Center. Went to Park Center High School in the Osseo School District down there.
Mm-hmm.
I am the oldest of eight kids, or as my dad used to say, two and a half dozen, two girls and a half dozen boys.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of grew up with music. He bought a concertina in about 1970, something like that. I always loved old-time music. With that many kids, I don't know how he afforded it, but had an old Echo B-flat. And Keith in the band still has it, still plays it. He says it's the only B-flat he ever played with the band.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. That's pretty awesome. Now, you suppose he bought it with the intention of him learning to play it, or you guys?
He played it just recreational.
Okay.
I think it was therapy. Never played it out of the home. And, of course, kids being kids, we all had to pick it up and try it a little bit. You know, I learned a couple tunes and a couple others did, but Keith was the one that really jumped on board.
Okay. And so before we get to the family band, yeah. So then you pursued a music career. I mean, all through, did you play the horns? Is that what you started on in high school band or grade school band? Or?
Right. I started on clarinet in fifth grade at a small parochial school and then went to junior high,
mm-hmm.
at Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park area, and on to high school. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I loved playing. My band director at that time said, well, why don't you look at St. Cloud State for a music degree? And so, like in July after graduation, I thought, yeah, band director sounds like kind of a cool gig.
Yeah.
And I later come to know I taught for the last 29 years of my 37 years of teaching band at Tech High School here in St. Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And my high school director was a graduate of Tech High School. I didn't know that until about 10 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we kind of came full circle.
Oh, my gosh. So who was your director then?
Yeah, Woody Hoyseth was his name.
Okay, and he originally graduated from Tech and then went on to be the director at Brooklyn Park?
At Park Center High
School. Or Park Center High School? Wow, that's pretty awesome. All right. And you spent some time at St. Cloud Cathedral. My two sons, Kyle and Dwight, I believe, went through your program at that time?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, and got to know you a little bit. And then backing up just a little bit, mm-hmm. you know, it seems like about 100 years ago, but I was playing with the Ray Dronnell Band doing some drumming. We had a night off, and Bobby Lauer, Bobby Roberts' band, called me and said, we've got a dance job at the Waite Park Moose on Friday night. You suppose you can help me out? And I said, yeah. I looked at my planner. I was open. So I started setting up my drums as I got there. And all of a sudden, in walks this young fellow, mustache, and says, I'm Gary Zwack. And I just looked and I said, are you from the famous Zwack Brothers family band? And yeah, that would be me. I don't know how about famous we are, but and the rest is history. We played that job together that night.
That's right.
And
good memories.
Yeah. And I think probably a little bit through reference from your father-in-law, maybe? Your father-in-law happens to be Laverne Meyer. Verne Meyer from the Meyer Grove Community Band and played trumpet for a lot of years with Bobby Roberts, huh?
That's right. Yep, in the Meyer Grove Band. And he's listening, so shout out to Verne.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely.
And he actually was on your program number 111 on June of 2015.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
yes. That's a long time ago already. A lot of programs have came and went since that time. But
yes.
I played a number of jobs with Vern over the years. I don't know if he remembers them all, but Bobby used to call me pretty regularly when he was short a drummer. And, of course, Vern was a mainstay trumpet player there for a lot of years with Bobby.
Right, yes.
And so that brings us to your family. So you married Pat Myers, huh?
Right.
All right.
I went to St. Cloud State University, and being the oldest, I was the first one to go to college and all that good stuff. And a couple of years in there, in walks this clarinet player from Melrose High School. And truth be told, she thought I was kind of a creep, a little snooty. But things worked out. You know, after 6 weeks, I asked her to marry me, and we took some time, a couple of years there, before we actually tied the knot. But we've been married for 42 years now, and happily, and enjoying a lot of music. We have two kids, Ben and Carrie. Ben is a tuba player and also plays bass and sings with his own band called Polestar Diesel.
Oh.
They do a lot of old country type music.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carrie is a French horn player.
Oh, neat. Very neat. Yeah. Yeah, you would only anticipate that with two musicians as parents, there'd be no way out of learning an instrument, huh?
No, that's right. No options.
No options. There you go. Well, that's great. So you went on to graduate from St. Cloud State. You picked up your teaching degree and went on to teach music all those years, retiring recently?
Yes, I retired in June of 2019.
Uh-huh.
And after 37 years, you know, one of the first things people asked was, I suppose you're going to do a lot of traveling now. And I said, well, I don't really know how to travel. You know, after all the band trips I did, 20 years of doing the St. Cloud All City Marching Band and so on, I don't know how to travel without 40 to 60 adolescents trapped in a bus with noisemakers.
So true, so true. So, but you didn't retire from music. You still have some ends loose there that you continue to do, and one being the Meyer Grove Community Band?
That is true, yes.
You are the director.
I am currently the director, yeah. Vern was the last director, my father-in-law. He directed for only like 61 or 2 years.
Okay.
And I don't think I'm going to make that long, but I've been doing it for several years now and playing along with the band occasionally too, soloing. And it's been great. We've had a great time. We've been able to travel to Germany twice. And a quick story on that, one of my former students, him and his wife, joined the Meyer Grove Band, and they had a daughter along on one of our trips to Germany. She was only about 6 months old, Tegan. And she played in the Meyer Grove Band last year as an 11-year-old.
So oh, my gosh.
Her dad.
Ah, that is awesome. You bet. And Meyer Grove is probably one of the only community bands that I know of anywhere in the state that, you know, has got a history and is playing like they do. Do you know of any others?
There's actually quite a few community bands.
Are there?
They vary a little bit. You know, sometimes they're on and off.
Mm-hmm.
Meyer Grove boasts to be the oldest actively participating. We performed every year since 1883.
Oh, my gosh.
So this is the 140th anniversary of the Meyer Grove Band, and they've played every year at least something. Even in COVID, we got out on a farm and spaced ourselves out and did a 45-minute rehearsal concert. So.
Oh, good. That is awesome. And is it a lot of work or is it a lot of joy or what drives you to continue to do this?
I think it's the joy that you see in the people that come to these. You know, music is such a universal language and these people just want the opportunity to play. It was a great social outing for them in their school years and so on, and now it's an opportunity to play with others that are not necessarily super serious about playing. They want to do a good job, and they practice and so on, but I I think our result musically is rather stunning. And then socially, we have a great time.
You bet.
A lot of fun.
You bet. And, you know, a quick story for you, Gary. I don't think I've ever shared this one with you, but I've got a really close friend, Ron Eichmeyer, back in our school days. And, you know, as students, we would always ask, why the concert? You have to work so hard to get ready for the concert. Well, one of the directors or teachers along the way said, you know, if you would never have a concert, a performance, you wouldn't have a reason to practice and you would never get any better. You'd never improve. So Ted Thorson was our band director over at Tech, and Ron was playing tuba for the Ray Dronnell Band. And it so happened that we had a concert, a spring concert, I believe, coming up. And Ron had told Mr. Thorson that he wasn't going to make it. He had a dance job. And Ted had told him, if you don't make that concert, you're going to fail the course. And well, Ron, as it turned out, got a really bad bloody nose. And so he would have missed the concert anyway. He had like a two-hour bloody nose, but it stopped in time to get to the gig. And so he did play that night. I don't think Ted failed him, but he was very, very angry. I know he cornered me and he said, you know where your buddy is? And it's just a fun story. And Ron, when he went in to talk to Ted the next week to alibi his situation, he said, I'm making money at this. This is something, he said, that I am doing. He said, how many kids go to school and learn an instrument, and the year that they graduated, it lands in the closet, and they never look at it again? He said, I'm making something of this. And he has done that up until now. He's still playing, you know, pretty religiously, all sorts of instruments, and really has made something of that. And I know if Ted was still living today, he'd like to alibi his, you know, if I do that with every student, I wouldn't have a band show up. Oh, I don't know, your comments on that whole situation?
You know, it's so true. I've had a number of students that have gone on to play either professionally or in military bands and so on. It's just amazing. One student I had at Cathedral about the time that your kids were there came in as a 10th grader, and he wanted to play drums, which a band director always kind of frowns on. Starting in 10th grade and playing drums, oh boy.
Yep.
And so I said, let's do a play test, and I had him play back some rhythms to me, and I did everything but a cartwheel, and he did everything twice as good as I could do it.
Oh, really?
He ended up being a professional player, played in Nashville, traveled the world, and had a studio. Professional musician and teacher. So you never know. I never say no to students.
You don't. Well, Gary, if we can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment. We've reached
sure.
12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. I'm going to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, and then we'll come back to you and continue the conversation.
Great.
All righty. So greetings from the St. Joe Meat Market. And Lent began on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. Of course, Lent has traditionally been a time when Christians and Catholics have abstained from eating meat or limited the amount they eat. Not eating meat is a sacrifice or penance for most people. Hats off to those who in this day and age are disciplined enough to do this. Well, everyone knows that it is still important to eat and maintain one's health. The St. Joe Meat Market has a lot of meatless ideas for you. In the grocery department, you will find breakfast cereals, pancake mix, waffles and syrup, maybe a cheese pizza. In the seafood department, you'll find cooked shrimp, salmon, walleye, herring, and some breaded fish fillets. Also, smoked salmon has become a regular item at the St. Joe Meat Market year-round. Jesse and Ryan do just an awesome job of curing and smoking our smoked salmon. And don't forget the eggs and cheese. The St. Joe Meat Market handles a wide variety of cheese from several different dairies, including Crystal Farms, Dymox from South Dakota, and Bongard's. My favorite flavor is the horseradish cheese. Yum! Some good stuff for sure. As always, for more in-store specials, like us on Facebook, check us out on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or call 320-363-4913. And the St. Joe Meat Market thanks you. Gary, for being our guest on the program. We get you that nice meat package. In your case, I had the occasion to stop down this week, so I dropped it off in advance, and you have already had a chance to preview it a little bit. How's that working out for you and Pat?
I need a toothpick right now. I'm just finishing up.
Okay, good. You found a few items in that package that you could use, huh?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Well, Gary, we didn't get a chance to talk about the family band. Well, first of all, quickly before we saw you spending time with the Meyer Grove Concert Community Band there, but you've also got another habit that you picked up, and it's called, the Half Steps?
The Half Steps?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Half Steps Acapella Quartet. Four guys from here in the St. Cloud and Sauk Rapids-Sartell area. We've been together for about 27 years and just doing an eclectic amount of singing. We're not a particularly barbershop group or anything. We do anything from barbershop to the Pointer Sisters to Elvis Presley pop tunes and fun folk tunes. So I heard you played a couple of our tunes this morning.
We did.
CDs.
Yep, appreciate we did the Dean Martin one and the Johnny Horton one. And I just ran out of time, but I wanted to do the ABBA one. A men's group doing ABBA. That was pretty cool. I've listened to it at home, and you guys are really awesome. Do you just do it for fun, or do you actually hire out, or how?
We do. We do hire out. We're not super busy. Rich Winneman in the group is very active in the music business, and he's been doing a lot of performing with other groups and so on, and with our families and stuff. But, we get out. We did a show at the Pioneer Place in December, and we've got a big performance coming up this summer, which I can't disclose yet.
Okay.
But one of the bigger venues in St. Cloud, so we're excited about that.
Well, that's great. And a cappella is so intriguing because when you listen to it, I mean, it sounds like there's instruments in there, and that's all being made by your voices and however you describe it.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you use any instruments at all, like the tambourine or anything like that?
We have about three tunes out of a large repertoire that use a tambourine once. I use claves on one. And we also have a cajon, which is kind of a little drum box.
Okay, yep.
Just for a couple extra sounds here and there. But otherwise,
sure.
Everything is done 100% vocally.
That is just amazing. And we've been to the Barbershoppers, the St. Cloud Singing Saints, a number of times and seen some really good a cappella groups come in from all over the country. And,
right.
Of course, you've been there. You've been the MC for the Saints for many times.
Many years, yep.
Yeah. So not new to you, but boy, it's just and it's just a passion that you have, huh? You just like the music so much that you do this as well.
That's right, yep.
And you know
Another
what?
Outlet.
And you don't have to change reeds or mouthpieces or pads or anything like that, but you do have to eat. You still have to feed that instrument, huh?
You have to feed it, and you hope you don't get a cold.
Yeah.
Although I'm the bass, so.
You are the bass, okay. That's great. And who are the other members in the Half Steps?
In the Half Steps, so I mentioned Rich Wittemann, and then Paul Theodore, and Steve Wilson.
Uh-huh. Very good. Well, another time, we're going to spend more time on that group. Right now, we want to get to your brother's group and how that got started and who they all are. And are you guys still, do you do any reunion thing, or when was the last job? I got thousands of questions. Take it away.
We started in 1976. We were all in our teens. I was 19. The first five of us for about a month out of the year have consecutive ages. And then the last three are spread out a little bit more. Apparently, they got a TV. But anyway, we had three of us that kind of played. I was doing clarinet. Keith was playing concertina. And then Dave, who was the second one, had played cornet and band. But then he picked up tuba, self-taught. And then Jim on drums, self-taught. So we had that kind of the trio with concertina, drums, and bass. And then I added in on clarinet, tenor, sax, and then eventually trumpet. Then we added Paul on trumpet. So there was five of us that were in our teens, and it was always kind of fun to go into a venue and they'd see these little young high school kids coming in with a sound system and figuring, oh boy, this is going to be something. And then we would start off with a Jerry Schuft number or a Rainbow Valley and a concertina solo, and they just couldn't believe it.
Yep.
We eventually added Colleen in. Colleen played trombone. My other sister, Kathy, played clarinet in school, but she never played with the band. And Alan was a good supporter. He's the youngest.
Uh-huh. Neat.
And so we played, you know, up through the 80s and so on, 90s, and then we started to see some issues with, you know, just families growing and all that type of stuff. And then Keith, our Constantine player, developed some health issues and really wasn't able to play. He had some nerve issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so, fortunately, he's been able to play a little bit again. They have a loft on the farm. Mm-hmm. He lost his wife a while back, but they have a hobby farm in Corcoran. And they have this loft that's just awesome. So we set up the band and played for a couple hours up there, and we hope to do that again in the future. Just a chance to do a reunion. And he came out here. I'm in the Fernwood neighborhood of South St. Cloud. It's
mm-hmm.
a neighborhood, very close. A lot of old music teachers and musicians in the neighborhood, so I thought it'd be great to do something in the backyard. So last year I organized kind of a music thing. So the Half Step sang, and I had another neighbor, Steve Lungstrom, who's a talented musician, piano player, singer, and then Keith came out of retirement and played for about a half hour.
Ah, awesome.
Constantine solos, and I jumped in on clarinet with him on some hula rides.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
That's great. Well, through the years, not only have you played together, but naturally when you get a reputation for being as good as you guys were, you get calls to participate with other bands. And I understand you got to sit in with the Ray Dorschner band once or twice or whatever.
Yes, I did. And that is such a treat. You know, that is such a tight band.
Yep.
And they have their arrangements down really tight, so it's quite an honor to jump in with that crew.
You bet.
And of course, Keith played with them many, many times.
You know, yeah.
They just really thought that was amazing. And it was so fun growing up because that was a band that my dad always listened to. And then also Jerry Schuft and Earl Schmidt. And many times after a dance in the Twin Cities, the band members would come over to the house. So we got to kind of see them and joke with them and just had a good time knowing that these were good people.
And do you, I mean, you probably understand it, but there is something about seeing youth. You go, you know, I went to Medina last Sunday for the Dale Damon tribute there, the memorial
yep.
service, and the number of players there and the young ones playing concertina and coming up on the stage and just doing their time in tribute to Dale. You always hear that old-time music is dying and it's fading away. Well, it's not as prevalent as it once was when we were in our growing up years.
Right.
But my goodness, I seen more good concertina players last Sunday than you could shake a stick at. So, it's just amazing that those that practice and really put something into it, they turn out to be something. And it was just awesome being part of that last Sunday. Yeah, yeah. And so as you guys were young and growing up, I'll bet you guys were just like, well, what are they making such a big deal over us? I mean, but people were. I mean, they were just ecstatic about you guys being as young as you are and being as good as you were.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, we tried to make our sound emulate some of the great masters that we had listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that came through in our recordings.
You bet. And through the years there, you you must have thought as highly of yourself or whatever that you did two recordings, huh?
We did. We did two albums, and it was kind of nice because Keith in the band wrote a waltz. He was only like 15, I think, when he wrote Marilyn's Waltz, which mm-hmm. was a waltz for my mother. And then a couple of years later wrote Richard's Polka, which is in honor of my dad. So he wrote and arranged those pieces and were recorded on our album.
Well, we're going to listen to both of them in our coming segment here, our musical treat for Dancing Feet. So, as you went, I mean, did you take care of the booking or did your mom and dad take care of the bookings? Or how did you, you guys must have played a lot back in those years, huh?
We played pretty much, yeah. We had kind of steady gigs and it really varied. I mean, we did legions and VFWs and, of course, the polka festivals and a lot of the ballrooms around the area in Ellsworth, Wisconsin, Durant, Iowa, Bird Island, Fairgrounds in Sauk Rapids, Coliseum and Sauk Center, Richmond. So we jumped around a lot of private weddings and so on, and it was always a learning experience, you know, as we went along, especially being young and not having anybody leading the way. We were kind of leading our own way, so we learned some things as we went along. I can remember one early gig that we did. It was for a wedding. Nobody that we really knew. I think my dad met somebody and they said, yeah, we need a band for our kids. They're getting married. So we go to this VFW and we set up and there's nobody there, and then supposed to start like 9 o'clock, and about 9 o'clock, maybe half a dozen people came in with cowboy hats and cowboy boots, and they kind of listened to about one tune and they all left. That wasn't their kind of music. And we still got paid, but we played the whole thing. We just rehearsed.
Okay.
But it was just so funny.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, that mom and dad wanted that music, but apparently the kids didn't.
Ah, I see. Oh, yes. Yeah, there are stories like that. So then, as you, you know, went to these polka fests, Gimmen Polka Fest and all the ones, mm-hmm. you must have seen all the different bands. Who, besides the Dorschner band, who were some of the other bands that you got to see that you thought, wow, they are really good. I wish we could play with them or play like them.
Oh, you know, the Elmer Scheid Band was always a great band. We had the Six Fat Dutchman, you know, some of the bigger bands.
Yep, yep.
Even early on, Whoopi John. And so we kind of looked at the bigger bands. But then there were some other bands that were coming along, you know, family bands and smaller bands that just really had kind of that same vibe, and that was just really cool to see.
You bet, you bet. Did you find yourself with a night off once in a while where you would go to a dance yourself, like I did through the years growing up, going out?
Yeah, occasionally we would do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I learned that I actually could dance. You know, usually the musicians are on stage all the time. You don't know if you can dance or not.
Yep, yep.
The wives are sitting out there watching.
Yep, exactly true. And so, yeah, we found ourselves going to Richmond. One of the bands that I really particularly enjoyed dancing to was the Jolly Lumberjacks. They had such a peppy, snappy style. And you just get you all pumped up. I really liked them. You bet. Well, Gary, our time is running down. I usually ask everybody about this time of the program if they've got a memory over the years that they'd care to share with the listeners, good, bad, or otherwise. And again, I've heard everything from getting stuck into snowstorms, playing for thousands of people, the president's election or inauguration. Or what have you got, Gary? What would you like to share?
Well, I think I'll share the story. In 1981, we were at the Gimmen Polka Fest, and we were talking amongst ourselves as a band, saying that we kind of grew up listening to the Rainbow Valley Dutchman on an album. We had an album that had a skip, mm-hmm. Polka Day Polka, and so I wrote an arrangement for the band that actually had that skip in it. And we played it on the stage, so it sounded like a regular, you know, like the tune was going on, and all of a sudden it had a skip in it, and the band next to us, they were watching, and they just, what was that? And they came over, they couldn't believe it, and we just had the most fun with that and played it many, many times after that.
You bet. Yep. You got me a copy of it. You did have it recorded. It's not part of your two recordings, but
right.
We're going to start.
We didn't want to put it on a record because people would want a refund because it skipped.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, golly. Well, great. Well, it's been fun, Gary, and we didn't even touch the tip of the iceberg. There's so much I wanted to ask you, and I will ask you real quickly. Brand names of horns. Do you have a particular clarinet sax that you feature? Or?
My clarinet I got when I was in ninth grade. It's a Buffet R13, and I haven't found a better one. I've played it ever since. I have an old Vito tenor sax, and we had a Benj trumpet.
Okay.
So those are the instruments of choice for me.
Ah, yes, very good. And I'm sure through the years you've seen them all with all the kids from Selmer to Bundy to Bach to you name it,
That's
huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
In fact, my mother, she played alto sax in band when she was in high school.
Okay.
And I have her old alto sax that she got from her aunt. It's a 1919 Martin, and it's kind of a silver-colored, and I was actually able to play that at her funeral in 2019. So
okay.
Kind of a nice tribute.
You bet. And that's one thing I neglected to ask, and I'm sure the listeners are jumping down and saying, are your parents still living? And you said your mother passed. Did your dad also pass away?
Yes, yeah. He died in 96. He had a lot of health problems with diabetes and so on that just kind of made it difficult for him in his last years. But,
sure.
One
sure.
of those big memories was playing for their 40th wedding anniversary.
Ah.
Being able to get up and actually dance with Mom, which was a major feat.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is neat. Well, with that, we're going to let you run. Gary, we want to save a little time to play the Five Zwack Brothers music, and
great.
So we'll do that. But again, thank you so much for taking time out and joining us on our Musicians Come and Play. And probably I told you the last time, the good Lord willing, that you and I are here down the road again one day, we'll do it again. How's that?
Sounds like a plan for me.
All righty. Say hi to your wife, Pat. I know she's probably listening in the background, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks,
Pat. Thanks, Gary. And there he goes, Mr. Gary Zwack, our 454th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by the Five Zwack Brothers family band in just minutes here. Larry Razavian is out of town checks with our theme Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up right there, wrapping up our 454th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Gary Zwack, our guest this morning on our Musicians Come and Play program, and what a great person Gary is. So knowledgeable, so easygoing, just a great, great person. Like I say, I got a chance to play on the band set with the Bobby Roberts Band with Gary back in the days, and boy, as I look back, if there's, you know, if you ever could change one thing in your life, I would have dialed in many more jobs with Gary, because just a fun guy to be around, so full of life. Just a great, great person. 22 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Well, we talked about this skip polka. It's called the polka skip. There is a polka by the name of the skip polka, and that's different. But this was an article that appeared in the October-November 1981 Entertainment Bits magazine. And the headline is "The Zwack Band Does Polka Skip." And so it goes on to say there was just no end to the antics of the Zwack brothers at the Gibbon Fest this year. While Ray Dorschner and members of his band were listening to the Zwack brothers in the tent on Saturday, Gary Zwack announced the band was going to play the Polka Day Polka, just as it sounds on an old Ray Dorschner Rainbow Valley Dutchman album. As the Zwack brothers played the tune, everything seemed to be going normally, and then to everyone's amazement, there was a skip, as though an old scratched-up record was being played. The crowd was astonished, and when the tune was over, asked to hear it again. Gary asked, "Should we drop the needle?" And the response was a unanimous yes. So as dropping a needle on a record, they began the tune partway through, complete with the skip. Even at the Durant, Iowa Polka Fest on September 11th and 12th, the band was receiving requests for their rendition of the Polka Day Polka. It is truly a classic. And here it is for you, the Polka Skip by the Five Zwack Brothers. That is one called the Polka Skip. Yes, the Polka Day's Polka, and with the skip in it. And boy, you can see where the Zwack brothers really got some attention with that one, with that rendition. And I know if we'd have visited longer with Gary, there was probably more. The brothers are so much alike. They are always full of antics, and so were some of the other good bands. When you went out to the Jerry Schuft performances or the Ray Dorschner performances, we got to see them over the years, and they all entertained the crowd. Music was one thing, but you could take a really good old-time band, and if they sat up there and were lifeless, they weren't nearly as entertaining as the bands that would add a little flavor of comedy or something into it. And the Zwack brothers definitely did that. Well, right now we're going to feature music off of their two albums, and I was able to get some onto CD, and we'll start out with one called Richard's Polka, the one that Keith had wrote in honor of his dad. Here it is for you, Richard's Polka. Thank you. Pretty good, huh? One called Richard's Polka, and to think that that's an original, that they wrote that one and performed it, and it's a great old-time polka. All right, music continues, and this is the song that really caught my attention back in the days when I first heard of the Zwack family band, and it's a schottische, one called the Dutch Stomp Schottische. And this one comes off of their second recording. This one is called It's Time for Old Time. And not sure when exactly that was recorded, but I believe back in the 80s, I would have to say. Here it is, the Dutch Stomp Schottische. I think that one is so awesome. The Dutch Stomp Schottische with the Five Zwack Brothers. 29 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. And it is brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours, Jeannie Bonfig and the gang over at Freeport. And I got information from Jeannie, and she wants to highlight the big Spring Music Fest in Branson, Missouri. Leaves April 19th through the 24th. And Jeannie B's Tours is super excited to announce that there will be special guests joining them on this music and fun-filled tour. Many of you have attended performances of the entertaining Jaspers musical shows at Park Rapids, Minnesota. The one and only Auntie Krimsagen and her husband, Knut, will board the motor coach on April 19th. Chasm's very own, yes, me, Cy, and my wife, Janet, have also been invited to join the group heading to Branson. There are still some seats available, and if you call Jeannie B this week, 320-345-1581 is the number to call for details. And this includes deluxe motor coach guide, entertainment on the coach, 6 shows, 10 meals, and Jeannie, of course, touring us through some of the hidden gems of the Branson area. Don't miss this awesome spring music fest to Branson. And the thing is, you need to call soon. You need to get in real soon, because you can't just call the day before the bus leaves and expect that the rooms and all the shows and everything is going to be reserved. Jeannie has to do this in advance. So she is getting right close to the timeline for reserving all of this. So she needs to know who's going along. So give her a call. Again, that phone number is 320-345-1581 for Jeannie B's Tours. And if you're the curious type, you might want to register for the Spring Fling two-day mystery tour, and that leaves on April 27th and 28th. Jeannie B will surprise you for two fun-filled days. The Ark Encounter Creation Experience departs May 15th for 6 days, jam-packed with interesting sights to enjoy. Details are just a phone call away. Again, 320-345-1581. And I'd highly recommend that one. We were on that one last year and just thoroughly enjoyed that trip. From the trip to the Fairfax Dairy Farm to seeing the Ark, the Creation Museum, we spent one day at the winery, and it wasn't the whole day. It was just a short time, but that was really a highlight. We had a happy bus going home, I can tell you that, and you just don't know until you experience it. Maybe a spring getaway, maybe the Badlands on the Men on the Rocks are calling you to hop on the Deadwood Days adventure. That's May 25th. Jeannie B Tours flies to Calgary, Canada on June 22nd for the Canadian Rockies Glacier Park and Banff and Lake Louise. That's a week of breathtaking scenery and excursions. And there are 6 spots left yet at this time for June 10th, Alaska Call of the Wild Land Tour. So once again, whatever your trip might be, give Jeannie B a call, 320-345-1581. Don't wait. You might miss the bus. You bet. Jeannie B is proudly bringing us our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. Back to the music of the Five Zwack Brothers, and right now we're going to put Mr. Keith Zwack to work on the concertina, and this one is one called Bildslandler or Bilds Waltz. Oh, and I have mine mixed up here. I had them all lined up, and let's see if we can find that one so quickly. Brothers there, Keith on the concertina solo with Bill's Waltz. 24 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, 23 our current temperature. More music by the Five Zwack Brothers, and this one's one called the Good Luck Polka. Ives Vuck Brothers with the Good Luck Polka. 21 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. Time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and we're going to do that. And if I can find it, it's going to be one called Marilyn's Waltz, written by Keith. And so let me just see if I can find that one for you.
Thank you.
Now, Five Zwack Brothers and one called Marilyn's Waltz, written by Keith there, performed for his mother. And what an honor there to do that for your mom and dad. Write them each a song. Good stuff for you there by the Five Zwack Brothers. And that wraps up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.